From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Oh God, you send us out like Abram and Sarai. We travel by day in confidence. You draw us close like Nicodemus. We travel by night with questions, with our hopes and our doubts. We embark on our journeys of faith with the saints of every age. We seek the way that leads into your love. We pause on our journey to praise you and rejoice to find you with us, guiding every step. Join me in prayer. God of amazing compassion, lover of our wayward race, you bring to birth a pilgrim people and call us to be a blessing for ourselves and all the world. We pray for grace to take your generous gift and step with courage on this holy path, confident in the radiant life that is your plan for us, made known and given in Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our special music is an anthem by our senior choir, A Blessing of Music. It's directed by Stacy Frederick.
Thank you.
Testament lesson from Genesis is read by Nancy Lewis.
Old Testament lesson comes from the 12th chapter of Genesis, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
Our gospel lesson from John and sermon entitled No Clear Answer is by Reverend Jody Furness Wright.
From John 3, 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. So do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is God's good news. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. One of my father's favorite scriptures is 1 Corinthians 15:51. It is not a well-known scripture, and in context, it's actually Paul talking about the second coming. But for my dad, it was the nursery scripture. And I grew up with it being the nursery scripture, so in our nursery at St. Peter's, we had it printed and put on the nursery wall. 1 Corinthians 15:51. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Infants are wonderful, aren't they? Those reflexes, those eyes, those little button noses and puckery mouths, the way our hearts are just opened and bonded and pulled when they cry, and that sudden need to take care of them, to keep them safe, to change them if they need changed, or to simply hold and comfort them if they need comforted, to feed them when they're hungry. They are so trusting in us. They are so dependent on us. And isn't our God good to have designed them in such a way that everything about them calls out trustworthiness in us and the want to care for them since they are dependent on us? And then, of course, they change day by day and they grow into that toddlery stage that's so curious and engaged in everything and wanting to be taught every minute. What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? Why? 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 And though we might find it a little annoying on our tired days or hard to keep answering all their questions, still we rejoice that they are growing and learning and getting just a little bigger every day and growing more and more into the people that God intends for them to be. They trust us. They depend on us. They need us. Our stories today, both about Abram and Nicodemus, may not seem to have much in common. But here are two men, both in older age, who are seeking answers. For as God has given Abram this call to which we know Abram will be faithful, you know there are 1,000 questions. And while they were not in this scripture, Abram simply says, I will go. We also know that all the way through, Abram will constantly be asking God's questions about this call. Well, yes, I'm to go to this land you'll show me. Could you show me ahead of time? Give me a map. Show me and tell me where I'm going to go. No, God says, just trust me. Well, I know you said I'm going to be the father of a great nation, but I'm 75 years old. Do you want to explain to me how that's going to happen? My wife is elderly as well. And God says, no, Abram, just trust me. Meanwhile, Nicodemus, the scholar of the Israel people, comes to Jesus and he's like, you can do these signs. How can I come into the presence of God? And Jesus gives him an unclear question. You will know when you have been reborn. Well, how can that happen? Why are you doing this? And Jesus doesn't give him clear answers. His answer is basically, just trust me. Depend on the word of God. Trust in the word of Christ as a newborn. With that total dependence and understanding that there is something about you that God and Jesus care for so much that they will never, ever let you down. For this is the answer that has given to both Abram and Nicodemus. Trust me. Trust as a newborn trusts that you will be cared for. And so, as much as we would like to have black and white answers to all our questions of where and why, truly there are no clear answers other than trust. To trust in God. To trust in Christ. To trust in the Holy Spirit. But humans, we're a little broken, aren't we? And one of our well-known sins is we don't like not having very black and white clear answers. So when they are not forthcoming, we often make them up. And so we come up with all kinds of ideologies and answers and words. Words and words and words and words to make sure that all the answers are right there. Then it's good to recognize our sin and come back to this scripture that reminds us all of our words are just words unless we let God change us. All of our answers are just words unless we let God change us. One of my favorite quotes is from the author William Faulkner, who was from Mississippi. I often think I'm the quintessential Midwesterner until I read Faulkner. And then I think, oh, I'm a Southerner. Who knew? In As I Lay Dying, William Faulkner writes, "People to whom sin is just a matter of words, to them, salvation is just words, too." So in both our sin and our salvation, in our questions and our answers, we learn to trust God, and that God's truth lies far beyond our answers and our words. So what do we do when the answers we have given ourselves fall apart, when they fail us, when the systems we have created seem broken, when the relationships we are in seem irreparable, when our answers fail us, what is left to us but to rely on the goodness of God, on God's grace, to become as a newborn, to place ourselves, all our needs, all our cares, all our questions in God's hands, to become again as a newborn, to be born again. This doesn't mean we're not supposed to ask questions. What parent doesn't delight? How many stories do we tell of the wonderful and profound questions our toddlers and children have asked us? Even when we don't have the answers to give them, we rejoice that they are seeking, that they are learning, that they are growing. And so, God delights in our seeking, in our questions, in our learning, in our growing. What parent does not mark with a party and balloons and a cake the growth and development of their children? And so God celebrates as we grow and develop and mature. What parent does not take into their arms and forgive and comfort and help when their child has made a mistake? And so God cleans up our messes, wipes our tears, holds us close. Even when the whys get tiresome. For as you know, sometimes a child's why can wear on your nerves. The 32nd question that is the same. And yet still you love. Still you might take a sigh, but you answer. Still, you rejoice in their curiosity, And so it is that as we seek and ask our whys, even though we may wear God out sometimes, God loves and rejoices in our seeking. But like a parent, when God may be sad, when God may be disappointed in us, is when we've made up our answers and we get so stuck in them that we cannot open ourselves to God's truth. When we stop growing, when we stop learning, when we stop coming closer to God. That is most to be guarded against. For when we do that, our trust is not in God, but in our own intellect, in our own tradition, in our own great thinking. But if we guard against it and come to trust that we don't have all the answers, that our God is still speaking, that we have much growth and learning yet to do, then we can come in faith to that moment when we know that God has more truth and light to break forth from God's holy word, that God still has so much more in store for humanity. And then, as infants, as newborns, as toddlers, as children, we can learn to grow born again. Will you pray with me? Loving parent God, rebirth our spirits again and again that we might trust as an infant trusts, ask as a toddler asks, and grow in grace as your children, letting you form us and change us into all you intend us to be. Amen and amen.
Oh,
beloved, God's love calls us into community to bless us. God's love sends us out into the wider community to be a blessing. Let us go forth from here in peace, bringing the blessing of God, our Creator, Jesus Christ, our wounded healer, and uncontainable Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.